Kiddos, come on down real quick. Come on. All right. Can everybody see the verse? Both of you, adults and kids? It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When you can't describe something, it's more than maybe you can understand. I don't know about you guys, but show of hands, who loves hot Krispy Kreme donuts? All right. Now, I love hot Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't just love one. I don't just love two. I'll eat them till basically we're out of donuts or I can't move anymore. Which usually we're out of donuts, okay? Anybody here had a Krispy Kreme donut? You had one? Only one? But you know something about the Krispy Kreme donuts? That I don't know how they make them, and I don't care how they make them. I don't even care why they make them, okay? Because I'm sure that there's one thing I know about them, and that is they're completely bad for me. So you know what I do when I see the hot light on? I say, thanks be to God for the hot light at Krispy Kreme. And then I pull in there, or Cameron pulls in there, or somebody pulls in there, and they get some donuts for us, and then we begin to eat. But here's something else that happens about those donuts. When I'm driving by Krispy Kreme and the hot light's not on, I have to ask myself, can I still make the choice to say, thank you, Lord, that Krispy Kreme is still making donuts? Even though I don't completely understand how they do it, why they do it, when they do it, I still have a choice to say thank you. And the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ is a gift that we can say, thanks be to God, but I can't describe it. It's indescribable. But you know something else about being thankful to God about some things? Is even when you don't understand what's happening in your life, but saying thanks be to God. In fact, that's what Brother James was kind of saying. Kind of saying what happened with Caleb and Brother Jay yesterday, which Jay, next year, you, me, and together, off the high dive, buddy? Huh? We'll hold hands? Yeah. I'll save Jay, probably. Anyway, but do you just understand that things happen in life that we don't always understand? But it's your choice and your choice, Raheem. David, it's your choice to say, thanks be to God. I can't fully explain to you today all there is to know about salvation through Jesus Christ. Because I can't really comprehend in my little brain that someone would die for me. I really can't. I have a lot of bad days where there's a lot of people that like to kill me, but not many lined up to die for me. Okay? And so, in life, I encourage you about something. Make your life one that says thank you in good circumstances and in bad circumstances. Make your life be able to say to your parents, your loved ones, your teachers, your family, your friends, to these people, thank you. Thank you because I know that you care about me. Even if you don't understand everything they do for you, be thankful. So the next time you look at Krispy Kreme donuts or you see the hot side on, I want you to know, you don't know how they're made any more than I do. I know there's dough and sugar. Man, that sugar fountain is indescribable. Okay? That little thing that puts the sugar on there, that's awesome. Okay? But I want you to know that we trust that they're going to be good at the end, don't we? We don't understand everything, but we trust they're going to be good. I trust God at the end of a day, a week, even a hard circumstance, that He's still good. Because I'm going to choose to say, thank you, God. I know you've got it in control. It's all under your control. So you may not understand the gift of salvation, but one of the ways you can accept it is saying, thank you, God, that Jesus died in my place on the cross, and I accept the gift. Thank you. And being thankful when life gets hard. Because some of you will be back in school in just a few weeks, and you're probably not looking forward to that. But be thankful that someone's willing to take the time to teach you some things. Be thankful in life no matter what's happening, okay? Let's pray. Then you can guys go to Kids Zone. God, thank you today that no matter if we understand the gift, because it is indescribable, the gift of salvation, you're indescribable and you're a gift. God, I pray today our hearts would just trust you by faith. Lord, you're awesome. I pray for these young people to be thankful. Thankful for all the indescribable gifts you give, Father. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. In the mid-1800s, there was a young man named Jeffrey Lampfieri. He was living in New York City, and he was given a commission by a church there that said, I want you to go, and I just want you to tell people in New York City about Jesus. And he did that. He walked up and down the streets. He handed out these little things that the young people probably don't even know what they are anymore, called tracts that explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he did that for weeks, and he saw no fruit from it. No one came to receive Christ. He became very, very frustrated. And then he did something I would encourage all of us to do. He opened up the Word of God, and he found the word prayer. And he said, wait a second. Instead of me going out and telling people about Jesus, I'm going to gather over here at this church, and I'm going to pass out flyers for people to join me at noon on a Wednesday afternoon, and we're just going to pray for the city of New York City. He did that. The first Wednesday he showed up, he sat there for 30 minutes by himself and no one showed up. But you know what he said? He said, I said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to have a prayer meeting. So he sat there by himself for 30 minutes and finally someone wandered in the back. About 20 minutes later, there were about 20 people. The next Wednesday came, there were about 40 or 50 people. The next Wednesday came and all they did was pray. There was no sermon. There was no teaching. I don't even know if there was music playing. I doubt it. They were just praying, seeking the face of God. As time went by, within a few years, there were over 5,000 prayer meetings across the United States of America. New York City had seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prayer meetings begin. In fact, the prayer meeting that he started grew so quickly that they realized they couldn't just meet every Wednesday, they had to meet every day. So every day from 12 to 1 in the Reformed Dutch Church in New York City, a group of people would gather and fill the pews and they would seek the face of God. Because they knew that without Him, nothing really changes. That a lot of talk is considered cheap by the people they're talking to unless the power of God is wooing and talking and pulling at their hearts. And that it's difficult at times to share something, even though you may fully be committed to it and passionate about it, but without God working in the other person's heart, it's sometimes difficult to see the fruit that you desire. So this morning, as you think about that story as a backdrop, we're going to look at a very straightforward, simple verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, as John puts it up for us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. John, go ahead. Part one of that verse says, if my people. That would be you, that would be me, that would be we. But we have something before us this morning, church, that's very difficult, I think, and sometimes we forget about it, and that is, you are the children of God, I am a child of God, but the thing that God has done is He has put before us a choice. If my children will choose to do something, then I can act. The church in America has a choice before it. The church in the world has a choice before it. Will they act like the children of God? Will they take ownership in their relationship with God as He has taken ownership in His relationship with them? If my people, that's you, that's me, the choice is before us this morning. Number two, John. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. In the Bible, it says that God has your name written on the palm of His hand. Now you think about that for just a second. The palm of His hand. That's pretty powerful, I think. The fact that a name, when He looks at the palm of His hand, however that works in heaven, that He can see our names. And He is saying, I am calling you, I am wooing you, I am longing for you, I am wanting you to choose me above everything else. And if you're willing to humble yourself before Him and watch what God can do, it's a powerful thing. You know, we have confused humility with weakness. I believe a general definition of humility is this, is strength or power under control. You can't tell me that Jesus Christ was weak. He was never weak. He was humble. And He allowed Himself to be taken to the cross and die out of humility. So us, church, we are called by God's name. We are His children. And you today have a privilege of joining Him in what He is doing. But will you humble yourselves? Will you acknowledge that there's a greater need than you can ever imagine in your own life for the power of God, for the very presence of God to come? This is a powerful passage given to the nation of Israel during a time that was not good. And God sends someone to say, if my people who are called by my name will simply humble themselves, realizing that there is someone greater than them that can do more than they can imagine or comprehend or understand. What do we say in 2 Corinthians 9:15 just a few minutes ago, the kids? Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift. You know what I like about that? It's the indescribable gift. And the gift that's been given is Him. It's Him. It's an awesome gift. But you are called. Number three, John. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I want you to understand today the challenge before us, church, is seeking the face of God. What's the face of God? It's His very presence. Wanting to hunger where He is and what He is doing. Is it easy all the time? No, but I want to ask you a question. The last time you were on the way out the door of your house or wherever you may live and you've lost the keys to your vehicle and you had somewhere to be, how earnestly did you seek those keys? How earnestly did you seek the phone that you were looking for when you were in a hurry to get somewhere? You did something with an earnest, a sincerity, a sense of urgency like no other time. There's a difference between losing my car keys when I'm trying to get somewhere by a certain time versus just losing my car keys in general and saying, hey, have you seen my car keys lately? No, when I lose my car keys and I have somewhere to be by a certain time or to meet with somebody, man, let me tell you something, I'm willing to turn upside down the house itself. I'm calling Cameron and I'm calling Kathy and I'm saying, have you seen my keys? When it says, and pray and seek my face, it's not saying, God, I need you. You know, God, you're pretty awesome. It's a hunger and a thirst that cannot be satisfied by anything less than His presence. And you know something? His presence is more powerful than when He speaks. His presence is more powerful than when you understand what salvation may be in our limited minds. His presence makes us stand in awe. D.L. Moody, still called the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, said one time he was in a room and the presence of God showed up so powerful, he literally crawled out of the room. They said, what's going on? He said, I can't stay in there. I'm going to die because the presence of God is still thick in that room. If you haven't experienced that type of feeling of the presence of God, which, by the way, it really is beyond feeling, it's beyond emotion, it can't be described by our five senses. When you seek the face of God for God, it is beyond, it's an indescribable gift. But you have to understand, if my people will choose to arise that I've been called by their name and they'll humble themselves, which by the way, in Hebrew way of thinking, who are called by my name will humble themselves, literally, they're saying, I can't even lift my face off the ground, that I am in such awe of God, that I can't lift my face because He is so awesome and I am so unworthy. That if I were to look on the holiness of God, that I might die at any moment. And so when they talk about humbling themselves, they're talking about humbling themselves in a way that acknowledges without God's presence in their life, they have no reason for living. Now you think about that for a second. This week, you went through the motions. You may have went through the emotions. You may have went through whatever you did to get through this week. But how long did it take you to get to the point where you realize, without God, I can't do anything? I hope it happened early. But since we're all, I believe, for the most part, acknowledging that we mess it up at time, from time to time, we realized there were probably some times this week where we realized, you know, God, I was trying to do that on my own. And I was messing it up. I remember I used to get this a lot when I first started running. People would say, hey, I'm kind of interested in running. What do you think I should do? Thank you, Joel. How about run? I would encourage you to go outside and try it, okay? But run. They say, no. I just want to run. I said, you can ask me however you want to. The answer doesn't change, okay? You can run. You got to just go do it. And God is saying, I'm telling you, if you want to see some awesome things happen in your life and those around you, you will pray and seek my face. Seek the presence of God. What did Moses do earlier in the Old Testament? He said, I just want to see your face, God. I've seen the miracles. I've seen the power, but nothing will satisfy me until I see your face. And God says to Moses, well, you can see my face, but you can't see me face to face because you will die because of His holiness.
You can see me as I pass by. You can see the backside of me as I go by. And guys, I don't even know what that looks like, really. I can't imagine what Moses was actually seeing standing in the crevice of a mountain when God's very presence passed by, and God, the Bible says God covered Moses' face so he couldn't see the face of God because it was so awesome. Number four, John. And turn from their wicked ways. You know, guys, I think we choose God a lot. Number two, I think we're gods. I'm willing to humble myself. And number three, we'll pray and we'll seek your face. But then when it comes to number four, you see, God's not interested in compromising. God's not interested in mediocrity. God's not interested in halfway. Number four says, and turn from their wicked ways. What's another way of saying that? How about some repentance? How about some good old-fashioned getting down, confessing sins? We've messed it up. We haven't been all you wanted us to be. But being specific. Because when it says turn from their wicked ways, this isn't the Israelites going into the tent of meeting or to a tabernacle saying, God, I had a bad day. I yelled at my spouse, about strangled a child. My boss, I promise you, if someone looked the other way, we'd have one less person on the earth. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about right here. This is talking about right here. And he gets really real when you want to get really real with God. Because he's going to look at you and he's going to say, how is your attitude? What was your thought life like? You didn't do something first without thinking about it. You can't blame everything on the devil. Although he's real. He's a good candidate. He's a pain in the backside sometimes. The world's a pain in the backside sometimes too. But sometimes we just got to simply say, God, I confess my wickedness. You know, there's a difference between committing wickedness and being wicked. He's not telling you you're wicked. He's saying turn from your wicked ways. Because he's already said, you're mine. Stop screwing it up. Let's get it right. Let's do it my way. But so often, we kind of want to dance a little bit. We kind of want to say, God, I know I messed it up, but. And God's saying, you're either all in or you're nothing. You know what? We use these words in America today. We talk about the word majority, okay? I don't know what the majority is or isn't anymore, okay? But I know this to be factual. God's looking for a holy minority. Are you in? Are you with Him? Are you willing to step up and say, I'm in? Because there's a principle in the Bible. It's found from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. That is the principle of a remnant. The principle of a remnant. God's saying, I don't need gazillions to change the world. I just need the holy minority that's really going to do what I say and do it my way and not be willing to compromise. And then He can see a change. I told the kids at camp this story. John Wesley said a long time ago, he said, you give me 100 men that are on fire for God and we'll change the world. Just think if we had 100, 1,000, or 10,000. But God's serious about number four. And I really do believe the first three, if I was rating which one's easier, 1, 2, and 3, we might be able to go along with. But when we come to number four, do we want to know what God calls holiness? God says holiness is what I am. And He's calling us to it too. Number five, John. Then what's He going to do? He's going to give His attention to you and He's going to say, you're serious. 1, 2, and 3, He doesn't know you're serious. Number four, now they're getting serious. Then He says, number five, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Another story about D.L. Moody. He went on vacation in England one time. He was on vacation. By this time, he was very, very famous. Even though it was a long time ago before social media, everybody knew who he was already. He went to England. Pastor found out he was there. Pastor said, Brother Moody, would you just come preach to our church one time? Sure, I'll do that. He showed up to a small church in London. He showed up. He left there, he said, that might be the deadest congregation I've ever seen in my life. He said, I'm not even sure those people were alive. Pastor found him after the service. He said, Brother Moody, could you just come back and preach tonight? It'd be all if you just preach one more time. And he said, no. He said, they're dead. They're just sitting there. No response. He left. He went to Ireland. He was in Ireland. God said, I need you to go back. Just like all of us good Christians, D.L. Moody said, huh? You've got yourself confused. He went back and he preached one more time at that church. The pastor said, after he preached that time, for 8 straight weeks, couldn't get enough room for hold the people in church. He spent 8 weeks in England. He'd only spent a little bit of time. One of the stories is this. After all was said and done, and God said, D.L., you've done a good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. Go back home. He found out there was a little old lady that had read in the paper that D.L. Moody was in England. And she said, I'd heard one of his sermons one time, and it was awesome. So I got down on my hands and knees and put my face down on the ground before God. And she said, God, if you could just send D.L. to our church, that revival could happen. I trust you that much. D.L. didn't know about it. One person's faithfulness, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God stands at the ready to do awesome things in your heart, in your family, in the city of Savannah, in the United States of America, and throughout this place we call planet Earth. As we talked about at the 9:30 this morning, we recognize something. God gave us the privilege of seeing His name go throughout the earth and to be exalted. That's powerful. We get to join Him. If my people, He is ready to hear from heaven. He wants to forgive the wickedness. He wants to do that. His Word says, I desire that none shall perish. He does not create somebody so He can send them to hell. He creates somebody to have an everlasting relationship with them. Are you willing to do what the Bible says to do? I didn't make that up today. As Dusty has said to us before, we read the Bible together today. One verse in the middle of the Old Testament. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Do you need healing in your family, physical, spiritual, emotional? Do you need healing in the city of Savannah today? Do you need healing in the United States of America? Don't look to the left or to the right. Look in the mirror. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to seek the face of God for the sake of God. But like we talked about at the book of Esther this morning at 9:30, God says, even if you don't choose to do it, I'll find somebody who will. So, number one, will you choose? So I'm calling on you this morning. Gary, are you in here?
Gary Strickland, please report to the front. Yeah, back.
Okay. All right. No, Gary's not back here. All right. I'm going to pray for us. The altar is open. God really can't make it much more simple than that. But I'm going to give you a warning. If you're serious, God's serious too. So I'm going to pray for us. You can respond right there. Our cards are there. We'll take them up at the end. But I'll be up here if you want to come pray with me. You can grab somebody else. There's a lot of people here that are willing to pray for one another. I know. Because we prayed together a lot over the years. So I'm going to pray for us. Altar is open. You can bring your cards and your envelopes when you feel led to do that. Father, today, I would ask that whatever you're saying, that Lord, if we need confirmation, it's of you. I pray you'd do that. Lord, if we need affirmation, that you would do that. Father, I pray today that we would not complicate what you have made simple and straightforward and powerful. We serve you, and you are a great and mighty God. And we say, praise be to God. Father, this time, pray your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. as people continue to pray, I want to point out Jonathan, Michelle, and the kids head back to the promised land tomorrow. They don't think of Kentucky as the promised land. I do. Also, Tim and Si, they're stopping by for the fourth weekend. They have found a house, Columbus. Praise God for that. Good to see them. As we go this way, I want you to know something that I pray for all of you that hear the sermon on Monday morning. This is what I pray for you on Monday morning. I'll be praying for you tomorrow is that what God has spoken to you today and throughout the rest of the day, that evil will not be allowed to snatch. Because why would God have to want to repeat something He's already said? So don't allow evil to steal, kill, or destroy. But tomorrow morning, I want to assure you, I'm going to be praying that for you. Okay? Let's pray this morning. Father, this morning as we get ready to leave this building and this property, God, we go out into a world that does not love You. So God, I would pray today. I don't know what it's going to look like this afternoon or this evening, but God, I would pray that we would love You first and foremost. And God, I think sometimes You've got some great indescribable gifts for us. Lord, it might be take a nap. Hallelujah. Lord, it might be just simply open up My Word and listen to My voice as I speak to you. Lord, it could be simply deliver an encouraging word to somebody we don't even know their name. But I pray first and foremost that God will be led by You, for You, through the Holy Spirit today. We bless You and we honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.